Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Today on the show, I'm talking to Dimitri, and he has a pizzeria in California, and we go through all of his marketing. He has a good idea of what to do. He's just not doing nearly enough of it, and I don't think he's doing it in the right way. We go over his Instagram, his Facebook, his website, email, and text. And I know that you've probably heard these podcasts like this before, but this is a little bit different. Dimitri does a good job of asking me questions specifically for his business, and I give him the straight forward answers. I'm not here to sugarcoat these calls. I'm like, if I was doing your marketing, this is what I would do. I'm not here to tell you like, oh, I think you're doing okay. No, if you suck at it, you're not doing great. I'm going to tell you, listen, you're not doing great. You need to do this. You need to do that. That's why you're not getting the results. And he's just not nearly doing enough marketing, not enough posting on Instagram to get any kind of results. And I give him the tough love on this podcast episode. So I think you're going to enjoy this one. A couple things before we get started. First of all, check out Baccio Cheese, bocciocheese.com/SPM. Request a sample for yourself. You can go to our Facebook page and see some pizzas that I've been making at home with Baccio Cheese. I love Baccio Cheese. It's the cheese that I use every time I'm at home. I shred it myself. I get the whole block, and I just go to town on that thing, and I make pizza, and my family loves it. It cooks well. It melts well. It tastes great, and it's just a great cheese, and I highly suggest you check some out for yourself. Get a sample. Try it out in your pizzeria. The feedback over on our Facebook page from people who have switched over to that has been amazing. So bocciocheese.com/SPM. Let them know you heard about them on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast, because I appreciate Baccio. I appreciate you doing that for me. And I think you're going to really enjoy the cheese. So again, last time, bocciocheese.com/SPM. And then, of course, SPM Magazine's coming out. Go check that out. And anybody who has supported the magazine company-wise, listen, I appreciate you. I won't forget that. And anybody who hasn't, the advertising price just doubled. No, I'm just kidding. That's all in good fun. Appreciate all the support. All the feedback has been great. We're working behind the scenes as I'm recording this podcast episode with the March issue, and I've had a lot of great contributors. A lot of people reach out, and I think we're going to do our best to really make this magazine something that's going to be, you know, different than what's out there already, but something that you're going to want to look forward to reading 4 times a year. And the information inside is going to be very valuable to your business, or either you're a seasoned veteran or you're just getting started with your business. There's going to be sections in there for all of you. SmartPizzaMarketing.com is our website. You can go check out everything over there. There's links to everything that we talked about in the podcast and the magazine on our home base, SmartPizzaMarketing.com. All right, let's get into the call with Dimitri. You're going to enjoy this one. Audio, and then we can get right into it, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I really hate rambling. So if you can just ask me kind of questions along the way.
No worries. I'll cut you off.
Go for it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. So welcome to the podcast. Dimitri, tell me a little bit about what you guys got going on, and I'm here to help you.
What's up, sir? Name is Dimitri Gitamene. We're with Buffalo Pizza and Ice Cream out in the Sacramento, California area. We're known as a breakfast pizza shop, but we serve traditional and vegan as well. It's one of the things that makes us a little bit unique in the area. Things that could always help us out are just, marketing, attracting more customers, our Instagram presence, growing into TikTok, as I'm hearing more and more that's the new way to connect with the younger audience. I'm only 37 myself, but I am not, you would say, a social media guy. So love any support you could provide. Your memes are some of the funniest ones that we come across, and I love sharing those around.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's relatable, right? Like, that's the content that we try to create, is relatable content for people in the pizza industry. So let me ask you this. Tell me a little bit about, like, your demographic. Who are you trying to reach? Who is your target customer? And then we can kind of go from there based on that info.
Yeah, so I think that's about our shop. We've got a pretty diverse menu, and we tracked a lot of different demographics because we're open, you know, throughout the entire day, most of the day, 5 out of 7 days of the week. So we can do, you know, your office workers. We're right outside the downtown Sacramento area, but we also have our traditional offerings for families and individuals and couples throughout the day and into the evening. Some of the things that makes us a little bit more unique is that we offer a breakfast pizza, which obviously hits in the early hours of the day. And we have a vegan menu line as well, which so from a customer differentiation and demographics, our big ones are office state workers in the daytime, and then vegans and traditional family members afternoon and evening.
Okay, and who? What's your marketing strategy? How do you reach those customers?
So it's a lot of different ways, and we've tried things in the past, hit or miss. But we've done email campaigns. We're currently doing text campaigns. Those seem to be hitting a little bit well. Our engagement is really around Instagram, and we've got stories going throughout the day, regular posts going throughout the month. I really would like to grow our TikTok following and engagement, because that seems to be the trend these days with a lot of people subscribing on the TikTok and just getting that instant, 10-second video clips and keeping them entertained. So seeking ways to better engage with them on offering discounts and promotions. Some of the cool things that are upcoming for our shop that'll really, that we want to have a good branding launch behind is we're going to be adding a patio to the outside of the business. So we're a takeout shop only, or have been largely over the years. It's a 30-plus-year-old business, but we're in planning right now for adding on a patio, and that should finally get us one of the things we've been long after, which is a sit-down element, and we could add on beer, and hopefully we'll be able to do this right in time for us. Sacramento Kings playoff season.
Okay. All right. So that's good info. That's very helpful when it comes to going over what you have here. I see that you're using Slice for the website. Are you using Slice for the online ordering too?
Yeah. So we're not unique. We've done a host of things in the past. So from customer access to us standpoint, we're on all the third parties, Grubhub, DoorDash, Uber Eats. Those integrate with Toast point of sale, and then separately we also have Slice point of sale. There's a little bit of a story. Each one of these platforms offers their value, but I can't tell you a single one of these platforms that does everything well. The platforms and ordering systems have been one of the longtime great challenges for the company, because things seem to randomly shut down, start up, printer issues. You got to reset constantly. I've seen a couple of the memes that you put out there for this. We are not unique in that. And it seems like anytime it rains, something shuts off, and we've got to get on a 1-hour call with some of these guys and try to do all of these different things. And I hate having to call into these guys, because it's one of those situations. You call in, you get one answer, you can hang up and call them back and get an entirely different answer.
Right.
And this is not unique to any of these platforms. It just seems to be industry wide.
So, all right.
Yeah. If somebody ever comes up with an app that can integrate with all,
that'll be the $1 billion idea, right? When somebody comes up to do all of those things at one time.
Oh yeah. $1 billion. Definitely.
All right. So I got your website up here. I got your Instagram. I got your Facebook. I got your TikTok. As we go through all of these, you say text messaging is working for you. Who do you use for text message marketing?
Yeah, right now we use Boostly. We signed up with them, I want to say late December. But just like with any systems integrations, there were some challenges out the gate for getting Boostly to create the code and have that code be verified and integrated with Slice. So it's a lot of connecting the dots. But yes, from a customer engagement standpoint, that seems to be something that hits well, our text messages.
And then email, how often are you sending emails?
Not so much these days. We used to send them in the past. Something I want to get back on in the future. But I'm always curious as far as bombarding people with emails. How many people do actually read through these promotional emails these days? But it is something I've heard well about. We just got to get down to it and execute.
What is the, how many emails do you have on your list?
I want to say last I checked, we have 5,700 or so. Some of those might be duplicates or people giving us their fourth email, the one for all the promos that nobody really looks into.
Yep. Well, so you got a good size list. So Dimitri, you got to send emails, buddy. The same thing you're sending through text, you can send through email to make it simple. Like, that's not the best strategy in the world, right? But one email sent that's maybe not optimized the best is still better than grasping onto emails and never sending an email. So you got to send it out.
100% true. And even in addition to that, of our active list, We are trying to dedicate during the middle of the day the slowest times for us. We still staff a crew during those times as we create this outbound call list and really try and contact information with people that have ordered from us in the past that we'd really just want to make sure that they're kind of a hot lead for us so we could actively engage and market to them a little bit better and get a little bit better response rate, hopefully.
What are you doing for sales right now a week?
Revenue or number of?
Revenue.
It depends. I mean, so historically, January has always been a hit or miss. This January, it is definitely, you would say, a little bit lower than previous years. I think we're going to average throughout the year somewhere between 15 and 22-ish, somewhere in there.
A week?
Depending on the season. Yeah.
Okay. And what do you need to be at? Like, what's your ideal? I mean, I know if you say, anybody says ideal, it's going to be a huge number. But, like, what do you need to do to make a good profit but also be able to pay all the bills? Like, what do you need to be at?
I would love to be right around the 75 to 82 mark, somewhere in there.
A week?
A month.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, okay. I thought you wanted to go from 17 to 22 to 75. I was like, wow, that's a pretty ambitious goal. I mean, it's doable if you put your work in.
No.
That's an ambitious goal.
I think I really do think with a sit-down patio, and we've had a little bit of experience with a sit-down type operation, but with sit-down and adding that beer component, it really changes the entire dynamic of our operation. And I'm hopeful that we can get right around to the 90-ish a year. But, all things got to be considered. And we have the wonderful 2024 shaping up to be one hell of a year for us.
So yeah.
Let's see what happens.
So you want to get to like 20, between 22 and 25 a week?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
All right,
That would be what we need to pay our people where I want to pay them and even increase a little bit of our engagement and marketing efforts.
All right, so I'm looking at over your stuff. Like if I had to stumble upon your website, I think your website's good. It's mobile optimized. It's got a good amount of info on there. It has your menu. It has all the information that people need, address, phone number, hours of operation. The only thing that I'm seeing on your website, assuming that all of that information is correct, like your hours of operation, 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, closed on Monday. That's all correct.
Yeah. So remember, most of the times during the week, we are open for breakfast hours.
Yeah.
It is one of the things that makes us a little bit unique, but yeah, we are open all day except Monday and Tuesdays.
All right. So one thing I do see is you have a Twitter X link on your website, and I click on it and it doesn't seem like you're super active on that platform. And you didn't mention to me Twitter at all. You mentioned LinkedIn. I'm sorry. You mentioned Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. So what I would do is remove that one, first of all, and then put your TikTok on there. So people, if they do go to your website, they know you have a TikTok account. And if that's their platform, they can follow you there. The other thing, that's your website. I think you're doing a good job on that. Obviously, you're doing text. I think you need to send out an email every single week. It could be simply a picture of whatever it is you're sending out in the text. So if you're texting your customers, you're obviously sending them some sort of offer or deal. Just write that text a little bit longer in an email and then add a photo of whatever it is that deal is and then just send that out. That's an easy email to just get started and do that every single week until you get the flow going for more emails and you understand who wants your emails and who doesn't. But just start there.
Yeah, I'm curious. In your experience, what would you say is a success rate for opening it and actually executing on the offer? Just curious.
So it's different now because Google and these other platforms have kind of swayed away from that open rate. So sometimes those open rates can be skewed, but if you can somehow dial it into where they're accurate, I'd say your open rate should be anywhere between 25 to 40 and your click-through rate's probably going to be anywhere from 1 to 3%.
1 to 3. Okay, yeah, that seems the open rate seems crazy high to me from what I've heard in the past. But the click on it rates for the promo that's right in line with what I was thinking.
Yeah, if your open rate is between 20 and 40%, you're doing great. If your open rate is under 25 but above 15, your subject line sucks. If your open rate is below 15%, your list is horrible and your subject line sucks and those people don't want to hear from you.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? So like you can gauge what is wrong with your email by what your open rate is.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. This is a good kick in the butt here. We definitely got something we've always wanted to do. I just got to get it done.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not here to sugarcoat it. I'm here to tell you exactly what I would do if I was running your marketing, right? You have a good brand. Like your colors are all accurate across the board. Your website is nicely designed. If I go to your Instagram and I go to your Facebook, it seems like it's the same business. So there's not like a lot of this brand cohesiveness. Sometimes you go to these different platforms and you can't tell it's the same business by hopping on these different social medias. The one thing I do say is you don't post enough. You know, I'm on your Instagram. Your last post for Instagram was December 24th. It's January 24th.
Yeah, I think so. It's always been one of those bit of a challenges is the consistency. So where we spend a little bit more time is on the stories. Those typically, maybe 3 to 5 times a week. I'm trying to get that up to daily or a couple times a day. But the hard posts, yeah, those lack a little bit more than I'd like to see right now. We'd like to see.
The only way you grow on Instagram or TikTok is to post. Stories isn't going to grow your account. It's going to engage with your current followers, but even 4 to 5 a week is not enough. You need to do 4 or 5 a day. If you really want to leverage social media and you want to get to 25K a week, you got to post once or twice a day to the feed. And this is Instagram and this is just Instagram for now. And then do 4 or 5 stories a day. And then if you want to grow on TikTok, you got to post once or twice a day.
Oh, you're talking hard posts, right? Not the stories that Instagram has.
Yeah, I'm talking the posts. That's the only way you're gonna grow.
What's your opinion on using kind of some of these influencers out there to help market, cross brand awareness, that kind of stuff? What's your opinion on that?
I think it's great if you can have local influencers that are like. There's a lot of people who are in these certain areas who go to different restaurants and collab with them. Like they'll post, Instagram's got a great collab feature where you can find a local influencer in your area, team up with them, whether that be through money or through food or a gift card or something. And then if they post to their account from your restaurant, they can tag you as a collaborator and that'll go onto your feed as well. So I think it's a great idea. Sometimes they're expensive, but you know what? Times are tough right now for everybody. And a lot of these influencers on Instagram, they just need content, because if they don't have content, they don't have a business. I mean, they barely have a business as it is, let's be honest. But if they don't have content, they certainly don't have any business. So they need it, right? So there's leverage there for you. So I think that's a great strategy.
Good. Yeah, that's definitely something we want to do. We've done it in the past, but another aspect, because it's, I think the biggest one is just introducing our brand, our product, everything that we offer to their, their viewers, their clients, their members, their followers.
Who posts to Instagram for you? Is that you?
So it's a couple different folks on the team. It's Taz, brand ambassador. It's Rick, GM, and then there's our assistant manager in there as well. The managers are typically the daily kind of posts, just the stuff that's going on the ground.
Yep.
Really, the big high level post. I'm still looking for that one. That one viral post that we I don't know what it's going to be in the future, but it's got to hit sometime soon. That really gets an exorbitant amount of likes and follows, and just really engages with everyone. So that's one of these days we got to figure out what is that viral post that's going to get us to crack the 5,000 followers on Instagram.
Well, the only way you're going to find that out is if you post.
Yeah. Good point, sir.
No post in the history of posts that have gone viral by not hitting the Instagram feed.
100% of those shots you don't take, right?
That's right. So you got to post more. The only way you really know what works in your area is to post as much as you possibly can and then go back and look at the data. And the data is shares, first of all. That's the most important. Saves, comments, likes. Likes are the least important. The more you can get your content to be shared, the more likely, obviously, people are going to see it, right? Because it's going to not only go on your account, but every time somebody shares that, they're sharing it to their story or to their feed, and their followers are going to see it. So the goal is to really make content that can be shareable or savable. If you can do those, then that's the key to making content that gets the maximum exposure. And you just got to be this is like a broken record for me because I say this all the time, but consistency over time is the most important thing. And it's the hardest thing because you're a business owner, you're a pizzeria owner, you got a lot of shit going on behind the scenes. I understand that. I know that. I know it's hard to be like, all right, I got to post twice a day to all these platforms. But if you want to leverage these platforms to the best of your ability and really maximize the opportunity that they give you, that's what you need to do. And that's what separates the people who get business from these platforms from the people who do not.
Very true. Have you do you recommend in the past the stuff that really has done, I think, the best engagement when you're talking about the comments and the shares is when we run a promotional offering or multiple promotions over the course of some time, like a holiday kind of promotion where you get access to the promotion by liking and sharing it with three people. But it's one of those you got to dive into the details to figure out who actually did it to give them the prize or reward at the end of it. But what are your thoughts on those kind of things?
I hate those. And I'll tell you why.
I hate those.
Well, okay, good.
I'm trying to wrap this up.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I hate those. Whenever you run a giveaway on social media, that giveaway itself is going to get a ton of engagement, right? Because people are going to want to tag people. They're going to want to share it because they want a chance to win whatever it is you're giving away. The problem with that is, the people who get tagged and follow and like because of that giveaway don't really care about your business. They only care about that free thing you're giving away. So what happens is moving forward, they didn't care about anything else from your business other than that one free offer. So they followed you, they liked the comment, and then your next post tanks because none of those people actually care. And it actually hurts your account moving forward.
Interesting. All 4 points. And you're saying it hurts because the next post has lower engagement, so that throws off your numbers to the good old Instagram algorithm.
Exactly. You want as many people as possible to engage with your posts when you initially post it because that gives it like authority and a little juice in the algorithm. And if all your followers come from giveaways, but they don't really care about getting a pizza from you without a giveaway, they're not going to like a regular post. If they don't like that regular post, Instagram's going to look at it because Instagram is just an algorithm. It doesn't know common sense. It's just going to look at that and say, yeah. It's just going to look at that and say, look, nobody liked this post. So we're certainly not going to show it to anybody who doesn't follow this account if the people who follow this account don't like it.
Well, that's very, I think that's one of the things I feel most proud about is that, and I could be wrong, but my gut's telling me that all of our followers thus far have been organic, that actually care about our brand, that haven't been a whole lot of those, the bots kind of thing out there or just following us to follow us because a friend told them kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm hopeful that most of our fans are original, genuine fans versus paid-for bots that I see a lot of other, food businesses start out with, and then all of a sudden you see, 5,000, 7,000. How did you get all those followers? It's because they were bought in some respects.
Yeah, I mean, you see accounts with 100,000 followers that get 4 likes on a post.
Yeah.
You're like, how'd that
happen? We're definitely not like that. I'm happy to say that, and I definitely don't want to spend money buying followers.
Yo, don't do that. So you're better off just, you know what? I mean, listen, I know times are tough for everybody, but you're better off saying, all right, instead of paying a company to run social media, and people hate when I say this, companies for social media, because to be honest with you, most companies that run social media suck at social media. Like if you look at their own company social media, it's horrible. And you're like, how do you run a company that sells social media services and your own social media sucks? Don't you think yours should be great? So
absolutely. I know the feeling.
What I would rather people do is you probably have people on your team that are interested in creating content. Instead of paying a company $1,000 or $1,500 a month to run your social media, put that money towards payroll and give your existing employees a chance to show their creativity, right? And say, hey, listen, I'm going to give everybody 2 extra hours a week. And for those 2 extra hours, you're not going to come into the kitchen and work. You're just going to create content for me. And that's how you can give them a little bit of extra hours. You're spending the same money because you got to create content for your business. That's how you're going to get exposure. But you're also giving them something a little different to do versus the regular job that they do every single day and turns into Groundhog Day.
Yeah, no, we're actually online with that right now as we speak. I think we just got to move a little bit more of those creative content away from stories and get it into the hard posts and the TikToks.
Yeah, Everything everything that works on Instagram doesn't necessarily work on TikTok, but for the most part, everything that works on TikTok will work on Instagram. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's this other third one that's it's like Facebook, the challenge to Instagram, or so. I'm drawing a blank on the name. Is it Reels, or it's something similar to TikTok where it's quick, short video clips?
Yeah, that's Reels on Instagram. So a video on Instagram is called a Reel. So you could post a Reel on Instagram, and then you could cross post that to Facebook. That'll do well. But what?
I sound like an 80-year-old dude out there.
But, nah, it's all good.
I think we're growing the Reels followership as well. Have you noticed any kind of who's on Reels versus who's on TikTok versus who's on Instagram, or is everybody on all of those?
No, they're not. Everybody's. You can see the demographic of people by asking questions. We recently did a poll on Facebook and Instagram, and you can tell by the responses how old people are. Like, we put a poll: Hey, where do you listen to podcasts? On iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube? And on Facebook, it was like 80% iTunes, which is old people, right? Because iTunes has been around for a long time. On Instagram, it was 80% Spotify, because people who are younger just gravitate more to Spotify because it has podcasts and music. So your audience is different on those platforms, and the age range is different. I would say, obviously, younger people are on TikTok, but yeah, Facebook is definitely an older audience, but Instagram's a mix. You know, I think Instagram's got the most crossover when it comes to the age range of the people who are consuming content on there.
So talk to me a little bit, if you have the time, as far as, you know, I see these all the time, as far as it's a cool video, it's a cool clip, you know, a food company's done something. But as far as, like, does that trigger me enough to go out and shop at that particular place of business? That's my disconnect. Do you have any words around that?
Have you ever seen the show Seinfeld?
Of course.
All right, so we call it the Costanza method, and I'm going to explain to you what the Costanza method is. There was an episode of Seinfeld, you may have seen this one, where George Costanza was going on a date with a woman, or he wanted to go on a date with a woman, and she didn't want to go on a date with
him. Many episodes.
Yeah, that's probably the whole show, right? But there was one specific episode where he was like, you know what? She wants nothing to do with me, but I'm like that jingle, that annoying jingle you hear on the TV or you see on the TV, that the first time you hear it, you don't want anything to do with it. The second time you hear it, you're like, oh, that's kind of catchy. The third time you hear it, you're hearing it, you're singing along with the jingle. That's what social media is. So yeah, you may not move the needle with customers from seeing one video, but if you're always in their feed creating engaging content, when they think of pizza, they're going to be like, oh, wow, I remember that place, Buffalo Pizza and Ice Cream Company, is always posting interesting content. That's where we're going to order from tonight.
The Costanza effect. I like this. Okay. All right. I hear you. Damn good response.
So it's not necessarily the one post that's going to move the needle. It's the showing up constantly that's going to remind them of where to go when they want whatever it is you're selling.
Okay, no, emails, TikTok, more consistent posting, and get them off the stories, or not just stories, but actually some hard posts on Instagram help with the algorithm.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I would do if I was you right now. I would send one text a week. I would send one email a week. I would probably send two emails a week because I'm crazy. But then I would do two posts a day on Instagram and TikTok, and then if I did a reel on Instagram, I would cross post that to Facebook, and then I would do 4 or 5 stories a day on Instagram.
4 or 5 stories a day.
And then I would do that for 30 days straight, and then at 30 day mark, I would be like, all right, where am I?
Yeah, I think at least for Instagram wise, our next goal is cracking that 5,000 follower number, and hopefully, realistically, if we can get that patio and those other menu items launched by spring, summer, our next goal, I think, is going to be right around 7,500 by the end of the year.
Great goal. I mean, definitely doable.
That's perfect. Okay. All right, Bruce. So do you got a little time to talk about yourself? Because I know you no longer run the pizza shop. You moved mostly into marketing. But what was your story growing up?
I worked at Pizzeria Regina, which is like a franchise here in the Boston area. I made pizza. That was like my first job. And then I moved to a local pizza shop. Started there when I was like 18, and I just liked it. I was kind of a dumb kid when it comes to schooling, so college wasn't going to be my thing. But I was a hard worker, and I met my future partner at the pizza shop that he worked at. We partnered up on that one. We opened a second one. I ran that for 25 years, and then 7 or 8 years ago, I started up this podcast. because I said, you know what? We're dumb. We don't know what we're doing. We're not college graduates, but we have two locations, so we kind of know what we're doing.
Oh, it's overrated.
Yeah. We kind of know what we're doing, but we don't know everything. So I wanted to talk to people who had 5, 6, 7 locations and figure out, like, what's different with them than us? What do they know that we don't know that I could learn from? And if I have a podcast, I can invite them on the podcast for free and just pick their brain for 30 or 45 minutes. And that's literally how the podcast started.
And at a certain point, you realize it was relatively lower stress and higher reward, and it just kind of took off for you?
Yeah, I realized that sitting at my desk talking into a microphone was way easier than dealing with the stuff that runs a pizzeria. And I said, you know what? If I can make this a viable business, then I'm doing it, because I put my time into the pizza shop.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. So what's your favorite style of pizza then?
New York style pizza. Like I like Detroit style pizza, but I can't eat that as much as I can New York style pizza. I like that. Like you know what? To be honest, I'll eat anything. You know, I like pizza in general. As long as it's like good quality, I'm pretty open to anything. But if I make pizza at home, it's probably New York style.
Yeah, so I definitely, unfortunately, I've been to New York, didn't have enough time to get a New York pizza in New York. I've had it out here. I've heard many, many a times. It's just not the same. You gotta have an original one right off a street vendor in New York. So it's on the bucket list. I'll get it done one of these days.
Yeah, you know what, though? I think New York pizza in New York is overrated, to be honest with you. I think 20 years ago, that might have been the case. But with Instagram and with social media and with people being able to communicate online, there's a lot of great New York style pizzerias, not in the New York area. One of my favorite pizzerias that sells that style of pizza is actually in Orlando, Florida.
Okay. All right. So you got any recommendations out in on the West Coast?
Where are you located? Where are you in Sacramento?
Depending on traffic, Sacramento. So we're in the valley, but we got some good pizza shops all around town. We're definitely one of them.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco has some great pizza shops, whether that, especially like the Detroit style pizza, tons of them in San Francisco, that area.
Yeah, I got to do our part as a Californian, go support these San Francisco restaurants.
I've yet to be in that area. San Francisco is a city that I've always wanted to visit, but I've yet to visit, but it's on my list.
Oh, beautiful city, going through some tough times, we'll say.
I've heard.
That's a lot of these California cities. I think that's one of the great challenges. I think we're not unique in this, but just over the last year or so, just the level of energy that we have to spend addressing the California homelessness issues or theft, vandalism, things like that. That's definitely been a challenge for the business and. You know, over all these years, just the last 2 years have absolutely skyrocketed, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But got to weather it and kill the crowd with some awesome experiences.
Yeah, it's tough. I know California is probably one of the toughest places to operate a small business like yourself. So kudos to you for doing it.
keep looking in the mirror like, oh, it's getting harder and harder every year. And that's why I love to see these memes. They're spot on.
I know from experience. Everything that I've shared as a meme, I've had to deal with. So I know from experience for sure.
I was asking, especially with all this new tech and AI and all that good stuff coming to the picture. What are your thoughts? And when did you decide on outsourcing to professionals versus keeping things internal, saving the dollars, putting it more towards ad spend?
For social media, you mean?
Yeah, social media, more content production, because social media, it's like timing of posts, things like that. But content production is a little bit different in my mind. When do you have any ideas on when to use the pros versus when to do it organically internally?
I would do it all. If I could possibly do it internally, I would try to do it internally. I would spend all my money doing it internally versus hiring an outside company. And hiring an outside company, they're not going to be able to hear your voice unless they really know the pizza industry and they really know your business. It's just going to be like vanilla content that they post for you, and it's not going to resonate like it would if you did it yourself or if you have somebody that is actually working inside of your business do it, because they know the ins and outs of your business.
Yeah, that's fair. I think our goal this year is to be somewhere in the 5 to 10% on ad spend, which is an enormous jump for us. But that is, you know, the target that I want to get to, hopefully by third or fourth quarter.
On ad spend for overall marketing or just social media?
I'd say overall marketing. Yeah. That'd be inclusive of, you know, paying professionals if we use it. But nowadays with these cameras and AI systems, you take a shot and pump it into one of these AI things and it beautifies it and makes it all, you know, sharp for you kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy, the technology that's coming out these days.
Well, if you do ever hire somebody, message me first and tell me how much they're charging you and what they're going to do. And I'll tell you if you should do it or not.
Yeah, this guy's loaded. You know what? Misspend right there.
Because for the most part, I'd say no. I'd be like, all right, now do this. I would never, me personally, listen, I didn't grow up in the social media era either. It's all new to me. I wouldn't hire a company to do my marketing for me.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense to not do that. I mean, especially with these youngins on the team, putting together a TikTok video and then at the same time saying, oh, D, I knew you wanted to tell us to get this done today, but we forgot.
Yeah.
How many times have I heard that?
Totally. That's why you have them come in one day and work for 4 hours just doing that and be like, all right, you need to do all your content for the week today.
Exactly. But hey, we've even tried some of that in the past, and it's we're not unique to it. It's one of those you want to get it done. Does it get done? Oh, man, I got to stay on top of that to get it done too.
Totally. Like it's not a battle that can be checked off the list and be like, all right, I'm done with that forever. It's something that you do every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the most recent one was showing up some of the other stuff that we'd like to add the plate to get done, but there hasn't been too much of the problem. But I love that. It's like, can you believe it? I just did it. Love that.
All right. Well, I hope this was helpful for you.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Thank you very much for your time, sir. We're gonna commit to some of these goals as far as getting those hard posts done, getting TikTok going, and the big one that would be relatively new for us, pushing email marketing.
Yeah, you'll
see. We got a good list. We just got to get it done.
You'll see a return with that for sure. So let me know how it goes. We'll follow up in a few weeks or a month after you're done the 30-day thing, and then we'll see how it goes.
That works. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thanks to Dimitri for letting me kind of hash out his marketing on the podcast here. Hopefully you got something out of that and you can use it in your business. If you want me to go over your marketing, there's a list. You can get on the list or you can shoot me in the email, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com, or hit me up on Instagram @smartpizzamarketing. We'll put you on the list when we open it up again for some more people to be able to kind of get these marketing teardowns or marketing advice podcast episodes. You can get on the list and we'll set you up with a call with me. Thanks so much. Appreciate you all listening to the podcast. We'll see you next week, everybody.